Well, let's talk more specifically about drink rather than food, because David Cameron and his government have vowed to press ahead with the sugar tax. The Queen's speech has confirmed that the controversial tax will go ahead in 2018. Despite protests, it will hit the poor. Drinks such as Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Red Bull, they could all cost around 20p more per litre in a bid to tackle fears over kids' obesity in UK schools. Now, in the speech, the government said the new legislation would encourage companies to reduce the amount of added sugar in drinks. But will it make any difference whatsoever? Emma Wolfe is on the line, the commentator. I mean, this is maybe, some people would say, very sensible, but there is no doubt that for young people who often take these drinks, and for their parents, it's going to cost them an awful lot more.
Stephen, I wouldn't tax the excessive sugar. I would actually ban it. It's a poison.
You'd ban sugar.
There is one reason why these food manufacturers add sugar. It's to make us addicted. It's to make people, it's empty calories. There's no nutritional benefit to sugar whatsoever, except to make people addicted and want more.
Well, aren't you holier than thou on this? I mean,
No, I am not. Listen to me. In studies on laboratory rats, sugar was more addictive than cocaine. Okay? And there are 70% already, 70% of men, 63% of women are already overweight or obese in the UK. Children are heading that way.
Well, first of all, you know, sugar is not really comparable to cocaine in terms of the damage it does to you. So, you know, whenever you say
it's a killer, it's
not within moderation, is it? And it's part of everybody's diet. Are you telling me that you don't take a chocolate bar occasionally? You don't have a little bit of sugar?
I can't remember the last time I had a chocolate bar, and I don't add sugar to anything.
Well, there you go, Dave Atherton. Dave Atherton from Freedom to Choose is on the line as well. Emma doesn't take any sugar whatsoever. What about you?
Well, I always have one in my coffee, and
you add it in.
But Emma, that's along with my first cigarette of the day as well. So I'm afraid to say that I have all the vices. I'm afraid I make no apologies for it, and no nanny statist or the government will tell me how to live my life.
You're an adult,
and you're making that choice, and I respect that choice. But children are not, and children are getting hooked on this drink. You see, mothers who put fizzy drink in their children's plastic bottles, like their feeding bottles that should have water or milk in. You see them drinking fizzy drinks. And that's so dangerous. It's horrific for their teeth, apart from their weight.
Oh, that's absolutely rubbish. To my mind, when I was a kid, you know, a fizzy drink was a treat, and I used to drink maybe three or four cans of cola a week. Never did my teeth any harm. Do you have
fillings, Dave?
Sorry?
Do you have fillings?
I have a couple of fillings.
How many? Come on, be honest.
Probably five.
Five fillings. So, actually, sugar has done some damage to your teeth, probably.
It's probably more the smoking rather than is the sugar, to be perfectly honest. But
there is a crisis in children's teeth rotting out of their heads. I would point that out as well. And like Dave, I used to have fizzy drinks as a treat as a child. Like, you'd have a big bottle of Vimto that you'd all share around, and that was great. But the fact is, it's not even the teeth that I'm worried about. It's the obesity. We have an obesity epidemic.
No, we don't have an obesity epidemic.
Empty calories. There's absolutely nothing in them except for this addictive substance that makes you want more. And it's in food as well.
Child obesity is down at the moment, but
I think the government has very much made clear, and I think it's widely accepted, that there is a problem with children's weight.
I live near a school where when I see the kids coming out, they don't seem fat and overweight to me. And as I mentioned, the most recent statistics are that childhood obesity is actually down recently. And by the way,
simply not true. If we carry on the way we are, one in three children will be obese by the year 2050. And the problem is, if you're obese as a child, you are an obese adult.
Emma, you and the state should make choices on behalf of parents.
We should make choices. We should make regulations based on the health of the nation.
No,
happy child isn't an obese child. They don't need that.
Do you think, from a democracy and a freedom point of view, making decisions for parents, you know, on their behalf, is a good thing. Is a good thing philosophically.
Well, hang on, Dave.
I don't think in a democracy you poison children.
Hang on, Dave. At the end of the day, you know, you're talking about freedom to choose. Parents still have the freedom to choose whether or not they buy these sugary drinks for their children. But maybe the fact that they have to pay a little bit more for them will maybe make them think twice. And perhaps they will go for another option that doesn't rot their teeth in the same way, does not lead to obesity.
Well, you know, maybe something like orange juice.
Well, maybe something like water. Have you heard of water?
You pour it out of a tap, don't you, apparently, from time to time. But, no, but for example, the thing is, when it comes to fizzy drinks, one of the leading brand people, two of the brands they have does not contain one iota of sugar. Now, surely a parent can choose that on behalf of their child, and maybe there will be a difference in price later on. But nevertheless, even as things stand at the moment, a parent can choose a non-sugar drink for their child.
Yeah, and maybe this will make them think twice. And maybe this will encourage them down that path. That is a potentially a good thing, isn't it?
Well, it certainly hasn't worked in Mexico, where they've had a sugar tax now for 4 years. They reckon it's reduced on a daily basis the average calorific value by 16 calories.
Okay. 0-30-30-80-55-55, you want to get involved in this. Damien wants to come on the line and give me a hard time. Damien, what's the problem?
Chris, I just have a problem with what you said in response to the lady's point about sugar being as addictive as cocaine. She's absolutely right. Evolutionary, we are hardwired to crave sugar. And what you said about sugar not being as dangerous to you as bad for you as cocaine, I mean, there's abundance of studies to show that that is simply not the case.
I think you'll find that cocaine... does more damage to people than
really?
Sugar taken in moderation.
How many people die annually of cocaine compared to the number of people who die annually of sugar related disease?
I think you'll find that, you know, whenever you're talking about cocaine and people dying from cocaine, you're talking about a relatively small number compared to the numbers that have sugar within their diet. It isn't comparable in terms of the numbers. I have no doubt that sugar taken in moderation is not as damaging as cocaine.
No, I didn't.
It's exactly what I just said. I just said sugar in moderation is exactly what I said, Damien.
No, you didn't. Sorry.
I just did.
No, I'm pretty sure you didn't, Chris. The problem is that sugar is not taken in moderation. That is the point. The lady was completely correct. Sugar is added because they know it is addictive.
And the damage that is done by the average person's diet in terms of taking sugar is completely different to those who take cocaine.
That wasn't my point. My point was the addictiveness. The point was when you tested laboratory rats, they go for sugar over cocaine. That is how addictive it is. It is an extremely important point. And I don't think the parents are choosing to feed their children empty calories, empty junk. They don't realise, none of us realise how much sugar is in these drinks, is in low-fat yogurts, is in cheese sandwiches, is in chicken ready meals, 10 teaspoons of sugar, more than a bar of chocolate. The sugar is hidden. That's my point.
I don't know how you manage to avoid sugar so much then. I mean,
I'm not saying I avoid it. You never take sugar, as you were telling us earlier on. I'm saying I don't add it, Chris.
Emma, how do you get your carbohydrates?
From bread and from pasta and from rice.
Bread's got lots of sugar in it. Lots of white bread. Huge amounts of sugar, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't go near white bread.
No white bread.
What I'm saying is...
I'd love to know your diet, Emma.
In all our foods.
Surely it's not the chemical. Surely it's the amount of aggregate calories you take in. It's not your poison, so to speak. You know, if you ate a whole loaf of bread... It'll be far worse than having a fizzy drink.
Right, Damien's had a shout at me. Patrick's going to want to have a shout at you, Emma. Patrick.
Well, I just want to ask a question. Why am I not obese? I take 2.5 sugars in my tea 15 times a day. I take white bread all my life. I take cream milk all my life. And I do all the things I'm not supposed to do. And guess what my weight does?
Well, you probably
11 stone with my clothes on.
But you probably burn it off, Patrick.
But it
also probably isn't doing you much good, though.
Pardon?
It probably isn't doing you much good, though.
Well, I see it's 78. I'm hardly going to worry about not lasting that. Oh, Chris, you made a... That's not doing me any good. Here I am, 78 years of age, going to be 79th birthday. Oh, come on.
Happy birthday, Patrick. You see Emma? You see Emma? He has the old chocolate bar and he's quite happy.
I can eat a love mark.
He might even be happier than you. Look, he probably has a very active lifestyle and probably is quite moderate in other ways. The fact is, if he, you know, it isn't good for you to be taking in all these. And to answer the point about carbohydrates, sugar and white bread are refined carbs. You know, that's what is bad for you. Regular carbohydrates are not bad for you, and there are good calories and there are bad calories. There's nothing nutritional in sugar. That's what people don't understand. That's what I'm trying to explain.
We are evolutionarily
designed to take in sugar in times of scarcity because it's high energy.
Can I ask a question, please?
Of course you can, Patrick. Go ahead.
My family's all the same build. All my brothers and sisters were all the same build. They all had their food as going. So somebody somewhere along the line should say, what is keeping them people from getting obese? Because there's no obesity in my family tree.
It's probably a bit of genetics, though, as well, Emma, isn't it?
There must be something in it.
Don't give me genetics. Don't give me that you're big boned. That's why you're obese.
No, he's saying that he's actually quite the opposite. He's saying, and you see it within certain families that there are people who are naturally predisposed to. I eat
because they're naturally more active. There's rubbish about people being, oh, you know, it's in the family or whatever. It's just an excuse for obesity.
No, I don't even see it in my wife's family. And my wife's family is all the same. They're all thin and they eat everything that goes with the Chinese a lot, and yet they don't get put on weight, so it must be something to do in the genes.
It's simple, calories in versus calories out.
Emma, aren't you fat shaming your wife's family, probably more active.
Dave?
Yeah, Emma, aren't you fat shaming here at the moment?
No, I'm not fat shaming at all. I'm saying that what we do, calories in versus calories out is what the truth is, and we continually deny this, and don't use silly words like fat shaming. Come on, baby.
Well, the single
thing about fat people, I'm saying calories in versus calories out is the equation.
By the way, did you read the latest research that the longest people who live are those who are slightly overweight? On average.
Yes, I've also done a lot of research into people who are slightly underweight who also live longer. Slight calorie restriction is also shown for people to live longer. So, you know, that stuff about being fat and fit, that's fine. It's absolutely
Chris,
fine.
I'm going to get a cup of tea and two and a half sugars.
Yeah, Patrick, you go and put the kettle on.
And look what you're missing. A cream bun, the cream dripping out of it, and a cup of tea with two and a half sugars.
All right. Make it two sugars if you're having the cream bun rather than two and a half. Robert the taxi driver, how are you?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Mr. Nolan must have had too much sugary drinks after that TV show last night. Is that why he's not here?
Well, I can't talk about Stephen's diet, otherwise I get in serious trouble.
I'd like to say more on a serious level. Here we go again with David Cameron and George Osborne paralysing the consumer and ignoring the multinationals who should be addressed for putting less sugar and more tax. They should be taxed more.
But he is addressing the multinationals. What he's saying is you have to put this on. It's a deliberate encouragement here to try and reformulate the drinks. Basically, make sure that there's less sugar in the drinks than there is currently.
Well, tax the multinationals more. Let's get real here. The consumer's facing everything. From sugary drinks, chocolates, etc. I'm going to learn you a trick, and your learners a wee trick here. This is a game of psychology. You walk into a shop, and before you walk into a shop, you want to buy a newspaper. Once you walk into that shop, chocolates is hitting you up the face, lemonade, two for the price of one, etc. How many people walk in for a newspaper and walk out with a newspaper? So we must train ourselves to take less sugary things. Now, once again, it should be more tax on the multinationals. David Cameron and George Osborne really have a cheek when these same multinationals right across the board are salting their money, are sugaring their money in tax havens all around the world. And once again,
I think we are now getting off the subject, Robert the taxi driver. Occasionally, you do.
Robert's right that supermarkets need to stop flogging.
Why we're not getting off the subject is, they're going to put 20p a drink, you've made a statement that they're going to tax the multinationals. So,
no, I'm saying that this is an encouragement to the multinationals.
Let me finish. If you're going to tax the multinationals...
Okay, Robert, calm down.
The consumer's paying for it because you're going to put 20p on them.
They are. That's the point. The consumers are going to pay, yeah. But it's to make them think twice. It's also to encourage the multinationals to change their drinks.
If you follow the line, if the big multinationals are going to put an extra 20p in a sugary drink, then the government says they're going to tax them. But the multinationals are throwing it back to the consumer.
Well, I think also the money is going to be used. The money is going to be used. Hang on, Robert. Ooh, calm down. No, I'm not. I was just going to explain that the money that is raised is going to be spent on sport, for example, in England. Here, the Department of Health are currently committed to undertaking a study about it. They're seeking more detail in the Chancellor's announcement. But the money is going to go into to dealing with obesity and encouraging sport within schools in parts of the UK.
Well, if they want to deal with obesity and health problems and everything else, let's tax the billionaires and the millionaires 1% more in their tax income, and bring in a law that when you earn money in any island, you should not be allowed to take it off that island and put it in taxes.
You've said it, Robert. Thanks very much, because, I mean, we are getting off the subject there. Venti, final call on this.
Hiya, Chris.
Hiya there.
I think listening to Robert imploding there is far more dangerous than sugar.
I think he needs to bring down his blood pressure a little bit, yeah.
But listen, I think listening to that big bad wolf coming on pontificating.
Emma Wolf.
Yes, Emma. I mean, she's no right wants to bar.
Hello, Venti.
God, good morning, Emma. I mean, you've no right to come on and make these wild comments. Listen, I like chocolate, and it's all in moderation. I like sugar in my tea. You know, and I've reared children, and I've made sure that, you know, I let them take sugar, I let them have chocolates. It's a matter of just consent and up to the person.
Yeah, because you're an adult, and you've made that decision. I completely respect your decision. What I'm saying is, there's a lot of sugar in food that we don't even realise, that we don't choose, and that is there. That people put in order to make us want more.
Yeah, but Emma, but don't you know? People look at their kids. Can't they see if they're fat? Can't they put them on the scales and measure them and how tall they are and how fat they are?
But children, the point is that this is also about ensuring children don't get fat. It is about ensuring that their health is better going through. And you can get obsessed with this idea of obesity. It goes well beyond that. It's about improving their health.
It is, but it's also about improving their mental health. No one is saying that it's not a pleasant experience for a child to be overweight. Children are bullied, children are laughed at, children can't be active. No one wants children to be overweight, and I'm not lecturing anyone. I'm saying that this stuff is in these drinks. We don't have a choice, therefore it shouldn't be there. And actually, can I honestly tell you, if you cut down on the amount of sugar, you notice it. We must all have had that experience where you put 3 sugars in your tea. You maybe start putting 1 in your tea, and you realise... You know, you go back to putting 3 in your tea, you realise, my God, that's sweet. We can all do it. I've done it with salt. I've started cutting out salt out of my cooking. And you start to realise how much salt there is in everything.
I heard Dave groan there. Yeah, I heard Dave groan.
You're the drama of the healthy world, you know. It's your utopia, you know. Oh, what a boring life. You know, I'm sorry I'm going to be rude here, but what a boring life you must have.
Why is it boring to use herbs and spices and flavour, real flavour? Sugar and salt are there to get us hooked.
Well,
simple.
You need to make sure that the electrical signals from your brain.
Of course you need some sodium. That is already in most foods.
We are very, very tight for time. Last comment to Mickey, who's calling us. Mickey?
Oh, how you doing?
Hiya, very quick comment. We've not got much time.
No, I'm making a comment there. They're talking about sugar and everything they're talking about. The children is a beast because they're playing on computers. Whenever children, 10, 15 years ago, when they went out and they played, now they're just playing on computers, they're playing on a phone, they never go out. Their mothers go to the chip shops, they don't use ordinary food. And that's, they're talking about sugar, it's these other things that's causing this.
It is a fair point. Mickey, thank you very much for your call. Thank you also to Emma Wolf and Dave Atherton. A distraught mother had contacted the Nolan Show with claims that her daughter was being bullied and that her school was not doing enough about it. Paula said that her daughter now dreads going to school and her health is suffering as a result. She's a pupil at Glengormley High School, a school where bullying had previously been highlighted on this show. Now, we've now been contacted by a teacher from Glengormley High. Bill Addis had been teaching there for 27 years and was a pupil there in the 1970s. At the minute, he's on a two-year career break, but he says the school is being criticised unfairly and that bullying is a problem that goes on everywhere. He also claims that schools aren't able to speak up for themselves properly. And he's been speaking to Stephen.
I got contact from a few friends and family yesterday saying that the school was getting a real hammering on your show.
Yeah.
And I've watched or heard your show in the past, and we've been we've taken a hammering before. Unfortunately, when you contact the school, when I was there, and I was the publicity officer for the school also, I was instructed that we're not allowed to make any comment other than, you know, we follow our policy and that's it. And they cannot say, you know...
It's not for me to say whether that's right or wrong, right? But what I can say is some people would question, in a modern day... You know, United Kingdom, where communication is a big thing for any institution, any company, any corporate body, where they're trying to get their story out there. To say we cannot comment, it doesn't necessarily do you any good.
I know, but we are told to say that by the Education Authority. We are instructed by them. We must follow their instructions. So perhaps you should have a go at the Education Authority rather than the actual school. We are told... to say no comment.
Well,
the board solicitors tell us to say that.
Well, this story comes down to a parent contacting us about bullying at the school and about her daughter being threatened to the point where she was fearful of coming into the school. And there was another similar story to that before that too.
Stephen, I've taught in Glengormley High School for 29 years in total teaching in Northern Ireland. Many friends and colleagues in other schools around Northern Ireland, and there's no more bullying at Glengormley High School than there is in any other non-selective or selective school in Northern Ireland.
How do you know?
Bullying, okay, speaking to colleagues and friends, even where I'm working now, bullying goes, it's society, it's modern society. Whether it's physical, verbal or cyberbullying, particularly cyberbullying now, we do our best to stop it, but it's very, very difficult, and it's not fair that Glengormley High School gets named as a school that's doing nothing to address this. We were. When I was working there, I'm the longest serving pastor learning leader in the school. We try our best, the teachers try their best to eradicate bullying, but it is very, very difficult.
Why is it so difficult?